you. Hi, everyone. My name is Kat, and I am an alcoholic. Denver, thank you so much for asking me to come and share, and just a huge thank you to the committee for putting this together. This is a new experience for me because I just want to thank everyone who's been so kind, because my father is here, and this is his first ever convention. And you guys have been amazing. And when Deborah asked me to share a couple of months ago, I remember my first reaction was like, no. Do you know what I mean? That's like, you know, my first thought. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to have anything to share. And then my intuition kicks in. And I say, okay, my higher power is asking me for a reason. So when I'm asked to do service and I can do it, I say yes. I don't listen to my head. I do the opposite of what my head's telling me. And because of that, I'm getting to have this experience with my father. So I'm very grateful for that. So thank you. My sobriety date is July 1st, 2012. And this was not part of the plan. I did not want to be an alcoholic. So a little bit of my story. I actually qualify for Al-Anon and ACA, but I've practiced the steps so far in AA. And so I'll be sharing as a member of AA tonight. My mother got sober when I was 5, and I had a healthy respect for Mum's meetings. And I knew that this worked because she had been sober for a long time. But I did not think that I was an alcoholic. And she was an incredible woman. She watched as my alcoholism progressed. And she knew that she was powerless over it, just like she'd been powerless over her own alcoholism. And, you know, in her AA wisdom, what she did was she planted little seeds. At no point did she tell me, you're an alcoholic. She didn't say to me, you've got to come to a meeting with me. But she planted little seeds. And I was a big whiskey drinker. I loved whiskey. But it sent me crazy. And I remember I would have been about 17 or 18. And I sat down with her and I said, you know, it's all right, Mom. I'm controlling it. I've switched whiskey to vodka. And I was like, you know, vodka's keeping me straight. And I said, I've got this under control. And she smiled. And she said, the thing is, Trina, that once you try to control something, you've already lost control. And I thought, wait, she's got a point there. But I wasn't ready to hear it yet. You know, and my alcoholism, you know, it progressed, and you know, the consequences got bigger, and I became number, you know, and that's, you know, especially those last years of drinking, you know, I would do the same thing over and over again, but I was no longer expecting a different result. You know, I knew what the result was going to be. It was going to be that I was probably going to black out, probably offend or hurt somebody. And then I was going to feel the shame and the guilt the next morning. And she understood that. We moved around the world. I was actually born in Munich. And everywhere that we moved, like, her big book was always present. It was always, like, in the living rooms of all the different houses we lived in. And she watched, you know, as it got progressively worse. And I would say things to her like, you know, it was that 7th vodka and tonic that got me into trouble. And she would say, Trina, it's the first drink that gets you drunk. And I'd kind of sit there and I'm like, okay. And all these things, obviously, you know, once I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I was ready to hear. But up until that point, you know, it was my mother that was trying to carry the message to me. And like I said, she planted those little seeds. And, you know, I was in this conflicted position. I was powerless. I was doing things that I didn't want to do. And I didn't know how to stop it. And there were mornings where, you know, I was back living at home. You know, the relationship had ended. I was in love with, you know, an amazing man. And he was quite straight-laced. And I think, you know, looking back on it now, like, I chose him for that. Because I thought, you know, I'm going to drink the way that I want, and he's going to take care of me. And that's what he did for a number of years. And he had the courage to leave that relationship. And when he did that, it kind of took away that safety net that I'd had. And it was like all bets were off. And each time I drank to get drunk. This is a progressive illness. You know, it started out, you know, like everyone was doing it when I was younger. And it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun during my drinking. But by the time I was 19, 20, and then subsequently 25 when that relationship ended, I could not get back to those fun times. And, you know, my mother would say to me, Trina, it's like Russian roulette. You know, each time I would go out, I wouldn't know what was really going to happen. And I guess for me, that's part of the definition of powerlessness. And I made, you know, like it talks about in our big book, I made these kind of solemn oaths, you know, to swear off the stuff. And, you know, sometimes I'd be able to make it a week or two, and then that trivial, you know, reason would, you know, win out. You know, it was someone's birthday, or I had, you know, leaving drinks at work. And I would say to myself, you know, I'll just have the one. And I didn't know about the physical allergy fully until I came to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And like my mom had said to me, you know, it's the first drink that does the damage, Trina. But I had to go through that experience, you know. And her experience at that time wasn't enough to get me sober. And I think she, deep down, she knew that. So she had to let me do what I needed to do. And I look back on that and I think, God, how did she do that? Right at the end of my drinking, I look back on it now, and it's divine intervention. But I went out drinking, and I remember waking up the next day, and I was like in the fetal position, and you know the guy was gone, like the job was about to go, and I woke up, and I remember I was like rocking back and forth, and I asked something to make me a better person. Because I didn't know why I kept doing what I was doing. And today I know that that was like a prayer to the universe. And there was a chain of events that led me to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I was living back with my mom and I was still drinking, and she had taken me in, there was this one evening, her health wasn't very well, but she had a tea commitment at a meeting called the Gospel Oak Promises Meeting.